I put out a post on social media that went viral talking about how if the infrastructure that supports the current world population contracts or is destroyed or shut down, then of course the world population cannot continue to be supported. Now, that seems almost obvious, and yet there's a lot of resistance to that idea. And so I wanted to explain this in a different way, using the example of deer corn and deer. Maybe that's because I see a lot of deer on my ranch, and there's a lot of baby deer this year, little Bambis running around, because it's a pretty good year to have a fawn. So the baby deer seem to be doing great, plenty of food, water, etc. But I don't put out food for deer. Now, some people do. Some people go buy what's called deer corn, which is always GMO corn, by the way. And they put out deer corn to attract the deer. And there are two reasons why people do this. Number one is people who love the deer and they just want to see them a lot. So they put out deer corn to attract them. And then the second reason is hunters that use deer corn to get the deer trained on coming to the feeding area so that the hunter can then later in the fall, they get a hunting license, then they can shoot and kill one of the deer or a couple deer, whatever they have on their license, after tricking them to come eat, you know, which seems pretty cruel to me. I'm not sure you can really call it hunting if you're sitting on your ass and you've trained deer for 6 months to come eat corn and you're just shooting them while they're eating. If that's called sport hunting, where's the sport? And anyway, that makes no sense to me. I don't kill animals. So the first group of people, they'll put out deer corn because they want to see the deer. Now, the more deer corn you set out, especially consistently over time, not only will you attract more deer, but then those deer will be able to have more babies because you're giving them the calories that they need to have the fertility and get pregnant and, you know, grow their babies. If you put that corn out, you're going to get more deer over time. That's why conservationists typically will tell people, don't put out deer corn. This is why I don't put out deer corn, because I don't want to train a whole lot of deer to be entirely dependent on me. Because what if I can't get deer corn one day, or what if I leave or I'm on vacation or something? Then what are they going to do? Then they're going to starve. So I don't give food to deer. What I do is I work to create a natural habitat that's deer friendly, and thus I have a lot of deer that don't depend on me. That's, I think, actually the ethical way to do this. But anyway, a lot of people put out deer corn. Now, if you put out enough deer corn to, let's say, support 100 deer, then eventually the population of deer is going to grow to 100. And maybe that's your cutoff. You're putting out, I don't know what that is, you know, a couple of large bags a day or something. You can support 100 deer. So the population of deer will come into equilibrium with the infrastructure of food that you have provided. And as long as that food continues, the deer will continue, roughly the same size as a population. Now, what happens if you decide to cut that in half one day? Instead of two bags of deer corn, you only put out one bag, and you just do that suddenly to the point where there's really only enough food for 50 deer. What happens to the 100 deer? Well, obviously, that begins the great deer famine. So there's a food shortage, and the deer begin to starve. And as they're starving, they have fewer babies, obviously. And so population starts to go down, and some of them may die from starvation. And some of them may migrate out of there looking for food somewhere else. So like the deer corn has run out here. Let's see if there's some other place that has more food. So they'll leave. So it's probably not surprising that over time, the number of deer that are living there will reach equilibrium with the food that's available, which is now enough food for 50 deer, but not 100 deer. That's what's critical to understand. So the same thing, of course, is true, obviously, with planet Earth and human civilization. If you build an infrastructure that supports 8 billion people by feeding them with fertilizer that's produced from the natural gas and produced from the sulfuric acid and the phosphate rock and so on, a lot of which used to come out of the Persian Gulf and sail through the Strait of Hormuz. So obviously, if you build an infrastructure that can feed 8 billion people, you're going to get 8 billion people because people will reproduce. If you then destroy a quarter of that infrastructure or take it offline for a period of time, which is exactly what has happened, then you're going to lose 2 billion people. The population will come into equilibrium with the available food resources. Just like the deer will obviously reduce its population to match the available deer corn. So where are we in human civilization on planet Earth right now? We are at about a 25% reduction in the availability of fertilizer. Actually, it's more than 25%, but we'll start there. So in other words, unless things are restored, that is, if we have over 100 commercial ships per day sailing through the Strait of Hormuz, which we have not had since the end of February, you know, we're 5 months into this now, unless that is restored, then the world's population will contract until it reaches equilibrium with the available food infrastructure. It's just straight cause and effect. But it's actually worse than that, because it's more than 30% of the world's fertilizer comes out of the Strait of Hormuz. And on top of that, there's a significant portion of the world's energy, especially diesel fuel, which is used in food transportation, that is running out. And of course, diesel's used in farming. Tractors run on diesel, etc. And the trucks that move the food run on diesel. And of course, food packaging is made from the polypropylene that's a derivative of naphtha, which comes out of the lighter distillates of oil, and so on and so forth. Food is actually encompassed about four or five different ways when you're looking at this current situation in the Persian Gulf. So food will become more than, we'll have more than a 25% reduction in global food if we stay on this current course, this trajectory of escalation. And it gets extremely bad if Trump makes good on his current promise to begin bombing Iran's energy infrastructure. The retaliation from that will almost certainly include Iran bombing the energy infrastructure of Qatar and the UAE and Bahrain and Kuwait, etc. And specifically, if Qatar's gas facilities are further destroyed, remember they're already partially destroyed, but if they are further destroyed, then the repair time stretches out to a decade to bring all that gas back online, the gas that produces nitrogenous fertilizers, the gas that has helium as a byproduct, the gas that provides the affordable energy for aluminum smelting, the gas that powers industry all over the world, etc. Now, of course, Qatar is not the only place where there's natural gas. There's gas, obviously, in the U.S. The U.S. is an exporter of natural gas. Europe has access to gas, but they've shut down their gas fields because, of course, well, it's Europe, and they love to commit energy suicide. So, you know, there are other places to get gas, but not enough, not quickly enough. The thing is, you have to have food for humanity every few days. In fact, most people eat daily. I eat daily. I mean, I can go days without eating. I'm not looking to do that, except, you know, maybe on a fasting vacation or something, which I'm not planning on anytime soon. So most people eat food every day. You can survive without food for, you know, a couple of weeks. People tend to get very barbaric after, you know, 72 hours without food, as they say. 9 meals away from anarchy. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. So here's the thing. If you lose the infrastructure that provides the fertilizer that grows the food. You know, some people will say, well, but we can rebuild it. Yeah, but you can't rebuild it in 72 hours. It's more like 72 months, you know, or longer. This is going to take years to rebuild. Years. That's well known, openly admitted. Once you understand how natural gas is purified and liquefied, you would know that the facilities will take a decade to restore. I mean, just the concentrators that are used in that process, the I forgot what they're called exactly, they liquefy the gas. Those parts are only made by one company in the world. That company, I think it's in Pennsylvania, and that company can only produce so much, and it's not much. And that's why it has taken decades to build this infrastructure that currently feeds the world. So you can spend decades building an infrastructure that can be destroyed in one day because of war. And that is the risk of where we're at right now. One day could take all of this offline, way more than 25%. It could be 50%. We could lose 4 billion people. Now that's a worst case scenario. I certainly hope it doesn't go there. And that's not even the most likely scenario, but it is highly likely that we could lose 1 billion or 2 billion. Now, where would those populations be lost? Well, mostly in marginalized nations, you know, Southeast Asia, certain parts of the Middle East, certain parts, obviously, sub-Saharan Africa, certain countries, you know, but there would be food scarcity everywhere. Everywhere, even in North America, even in so-called wealthy nations, food would become incredibly scarce. And there would be cannibalism. People would eat each other, and people would eat, you know, the zoo animals, dumpster diving, etc. Not a pretty scenario. So that's the explanation here with using deer corn. You take away the infrastructure, the existing population will contract to reach equilibrium with the available infrastructure. Period. That's irrefutable. No intelligent person can argue against that simple fact. Now, yeah, you can return to non-agricultural input farming, which, of course, is what many people will do to survive. You can go back to using animal poop and bird poop. There are entire islands that were covered with bird poop that were just completely gutted by the United Kingdom back in the day as the earlier forms of fertilizer. That was before the Haber-Bosch process. I think that was in the 19th century, actually. But that's gone. Yeah, you can return to animal poop. And if you do that, you can support only about 4 billion people. Because that method of farming just doesn't have the caloric output of the current method using, you know, phosphate fertilizers and nitrogen fertilizers that come from these energy-dense sources in the Middle East, just to be clear. So, yeah. Now, if this happens, can you survive this by being one of the 4 billion people that's left alive? And I would say the answer is probably yes. Yeah, actually, you can. You know, if we lose half the world's population, which is one of the outcomes, we still have the other half. And who is that other half? Well, that's the half of people who know how to grow food and who have some land and who maybe have some animals and who are more self-sufficient. It's not the half that live in the cities that are dependent on everything, that get, you know, that live on processed junk food and take a lot of prescription pharmaceuticals and trust the government to give them everything. That half, not going to do very well. So don't be in that half. Now, of course, a final thought here. If you want storable food, that can help you get through this, but alone, it's not enough. However, if you want it, of course, my online store has it, healthrangerstore.com, certified organic, ultra clean, lab tested food packs. They're called Ranger Buckets. We have mega buckets, mini buckets. We have freeze dried organic fruits sealed in number 10 steel cans for long term, really long term shelf stable storage. I mean, many years. And then we've got ranger buckets that are a combination of grains and legumes and rice and quinoa and sometimes nuts and things like that that will also help keep you alive. But ultimately, you're going to have to grow your own food or raise your own cattle or some combination of that in order to make it through this. And that's where this is all headed. You know, Trump is destroying the world's infrastructure that keeps 8 billion people alive. So if you love the idea of 4 billion people starving to death, then you love what Trump is doing right now. And some people do love that. Some people think that's awesome. I don't know. But if you are someone who wants to end human suffering and you have compassion for other people around the world, you don't want to take away half the world's food infrastructure just overnight. And that's exactly what is happening. Or I should say, we are moving in that direction. Not there yet, but that's the direction in which things are moving, and it's not going to be pretty. So finally, we have a lot of food right now in our warehouse, healthrangerstore.com, because I specifically ordered a massive amount of food in March. We got most of the raw materials in. We've been manufacturing since then. We've put it on the shelves over the last, let's say, 45 days or so. We are ready for a global famine. We're as ready as we can be. We've stocked all the square footage that we have. It's like, I don't know, 50,000 square feet of pallet rack space with forklifts and, you know, pallets, of, you know, stacked like three or four pallets high on the rack shelves. We are stocked, okay? And I did that on purpose. I went out on a limb, actually, financially to do that. I said to my staff, like, I know what's coming. I have high confidence that we're going to get into a food scarcity situation, and we need to be able to serve a lot of people and a large number of customers. And the only way that we can do that is if we, you know, stock up on a lot of food. So I said, let's go ahead and do that, and then we'll have plenty of food when the panic comes, and we'll be able to help a lot of people get squared away. And so that's where we are right now. The panic hasn't yet begun because most Americans are still oblivious to what has already happened. They don't know what's coming. I don't know. They're paying attention to sports or fashion or music videos or whatever. They won't know until the day that the food that they normally buy is not there or it's doubled in price or something. So they won't know. They won't prepare. They will panic. The best time to buy food is pre-panic. And also, all of our food has been grown before nuclear war. So we are selling pre-fallout food. Whereas if this thing goes to a nuclear war, then all that food after that's going to be post-fallout food, which will have less value because of the risk of, you know, radiation, obviously. So we are offering right now lab-tested, certified organic, ethically sourced, ultra clean, expertly formulated, no garbage, no GMOs, none of that stuff. Pre-fallout food right now, healthrangerstore.com, with as much as you want to buy. That is a temporary situation. I don't know, it probably won't even last to the end of this year, I would imagine. So it's a temporary situation. Take advantage of it if you want, if you need it, while you can. And also, in the meantime, learn how to grow as much of your own food as you can, because that will be an invaluable skill in the months and years ahead. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here. You can catch more of my videos at brightvideos.com and my articles at naturalnews.com. All right, take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.